Aren't you glad God can do it? Because I know I can't. You know, I think if you want to call it a secret or, I don't know, the next step to get our needs answered and to find what we're looking for in God, I think we've got to recognize, we've got to get out of ourselves and really allow God to do the work for us. You know, Paul said in one place, says that, you know, when I am weak, then am I strong. That's a verse that if you don't understand the Word of God, doesn't make a lot of sense the way it's worded. I mean, you look at somebody on the street and say, you know, when you're weak, then you're strong. Okay, what does that mean? What Paul was saying is we become weak in ourselves, recognizing there's no strength within us and that all strength is in God. Then we're strong. Why? Because God's fighting for us. So it's important to recognize that. I think too many times we try to fix our own problems and fight our own battles apart from the power of God. And that's easy to do because of just our human nature to want to get in and do it. And when we get ahead of God or we get outside God's will and start doing things ourselves and things don't work, we get discouraged. We give up. We think God's not hearing us. Well, we're not letting God really do it. It's kind of like if you work for someone that's a micromanager. Anybody got anybody like that? Micromanager. I mean, just, you know, can't do, you know, are you going to move that paper bag over 6 inches? Yes, boss. Yeah, 6 inches. I've got it. I'm going to do it. When you go do it? Right now, boss. I'm going to do it. Okay. Comes back. Did you move that? I mean, we don't like people that micromanage us. We want to be able to do our job and have some space. Well, God wants to do his job and have some space if we'll just let him. You know, just say, if you really trust me, then you trust how I do it. You'll trust when I'll do it. You'll trust who I'll do it with. You'll trust those things. So trust in God is something that we all, I think, need to grow in. God can do it, but we got to let him do it. We got to know where our help comes from. Look at Psalm 121. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Oh, I didn't pull my verses in there. Okay, I forgot that. I got stopped somehow before service, and I didn't pull my verses, did I? Hey, Melanie, honey, can you pull my verses? You got to pull my verses in there on that? I didn't pull my verses in. I got it up. But Psalm 121, it's very fast. Verses 1 and 2, Melanie. Psalm 121 and verse 1 and 2. Yeah, that's fine. Yes, please. Verse 1 and 2. All right, going to do that for right now so we can get reading here. Here we go. Verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? David recognized his help came from someone bigger than him and higher than him. He says, I don't know what to do. Where do I go from here? I need help. I got to find help. Where does that help come from? It comes from God. I know in this church every single week there are people that are sitting here. It's different faces, different weeks. People come and go. They're here for a season. They leave. They come back. They leave. They come back. And they're in and out. But each time someone comes in these doors, each one's carrying a battle. Each one has a need. Each one is bearing some kind of weight. And it may be something that is to you minor, but to someone else very serious. There could be people in here today that are battling addictions. They're battling strongholds. They're battling guilt and condemnation and shame. They're battling past hurts. They're battling scars of something that happened a long time ago. They've never really let forgiveness heal. And so we come into church, and we need more than just a good message or wise words from a wise man. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit says. We need to have a breakthrough experience. We need to have God step in and pass our way and give us in that moment exactly what we need. That's what the house of God is really for. That's what church is really for. That we get our needs met. That we leave different. That we leave changed. We don't leave just with a good hurrah-rah cheerleading message. But we leave knowing that God has visited me in my hour of need. And I'm leaving with something I didn't quite walk in with. The burden's been lifted, the stronghold's been broken, the healing is beginning to take place. I just feel different than leaving than I did coming in because God passed my way. That's what church is really all about. But we've got to recognize where our help comes from. doesn't come from man, as Bruce Dunn said. You know, I love what you said, that as Linda went in that surgery room, you had to stay back. You had to stop. But God went all the way. See, that's what God does, if we'll let him. God will go all the way for us. God bats for us all the way to the end. God's in our every moment. God's in our every hour. God's in our every season. God does not ever leave us. He does never forsake us. Man goes so far and can drop us like a hot potato, but not God. God holds us in the very times when in the very most. God holds us and God keeps us because God is there always. And God can do it if we'll let him. No matter what your problem is today, there is nothing bigger than what God can do. There is nothing you can give to God and say, God just can't fix this. You don't understand, preacher. I've went too far. I've crossed the line too many times. I'm in too deep. There is no depth of hole you could be in right now that the mighty hand of God cannot reach down and pull you out of. There is not a place in any of your lives where hope is so far gone that there's no more hope available, because God is the God of hope. That's what Paul says. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. No matter what you're battling, God is there. I don't care how long you've carried something. In an instant, in a moment, God can pass your way and take that off of you. I don't care how many years you battled. In an instant, in a moment, God can take that out of you and take that away from you if you'll let God do it. Because God can do it if we'll let him do it. That's the God I serve anyway. We see stories in the Bible, and I know you say, well, those stories happened a long time ago. God's still the same God that rescued Daniel. He's still the same God that was with Moses and Joseph and Joshua and the three Hebrew children and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the... He's the same God that was at the well with the Samaritan woman. The same God that called Zacchaeus out of a tree. The same God that told Peter, trust me and walk to where I'm at. The same God. He's not changed. What has happened? Our expectation, it has changed because we listen to the world saying, well, God don't do that and God don't do that, and it's just how it is. I get sick of people saying, just accept it like it is. Why should we accept something that God wants to set us free from, that God wants to heal us from, that God wants to pass our way and say, don't give up on me because I sure ain't gave up on you. Glory. He's still the same and he can do it if we'll let him. But we let the devil just talk to us and get all up in our head, in our mind, and we hear all these thoughts and see all these things. And the devil's got like one of them old recorders you see back in the, you know, back in Joe's old days. Them old recorders that you crank it up and it shows film on the screen. It's your life's flashing by. And that's what the devil does. He gives us all these flashes of what we've done and where we've been and what we've said and all the times we've done stuff we shouldn't have done. And what God is wanting to say is, look, don't you understand? When I said that if you confess your sins, I will forgive you of all your trespasses, I'll forgive you of all your iniquities, you shall be forgiven. That doesn't mean I'm forgiven today and not forgiven tomorrow. That means when God washed my sins away, he washed my sins away. I am white as snow because of the grace and the blood of our Savior. That's in the Word. And so we keep carrying that around thinking God won't do it for me because I've let him down. Like I heard one person say, you were never holding him up. Understand that. None of us are holding God up. So we can't let him down because we're not there to hold him up. Yes, I understand we make mistakes and we do things wrong, but God knew we would. God already had foreknowledge of that, but yet he died. God knew we'd slip and mess up, but yet he shed his blood. Yet he came looking for me. When he came looking for me as a little boy, he knew I wouldn't always be the perfect man. But he came looking for me, and he called my name. And he didn't call my name and says, James, you're mine until you do this. You're mine until that happens. You're mine, but you better do this. You're mine, but I'll drop you like a hot potato if you don't do exactly what I say. That's not the God that we serve. When God came, he came looking for us to save us, to keep us, to restore us, to secure us, and to seal us. And we are his all of our days because that blood is that powerful. It is that rich. It is that strong that it takes away all of our sin. Not only does it forgive our sin, it keeps us in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. It's a keeping faith, a keeping power. We fail to forget that because we think we're losing something because we mess up. If I lost my saving grace, every mistake I made, it wasn't much of a saving grace, was it? Really think about that. How saving can it be if it's based on what I'm doing? How saving could it really be? And so that same grace that forgave us, the same grace that keeps us. And David is saying, I know where my help comes from, and I need it, so I look to him. Verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's acknowledging my help can only come from God. There are things you just can't do on your own. You know, there have been many people in this church, some of you are here this morning, that have been smoke-free for several years. And you did it by the hand of God, not by yourself. It took a power stronger than yours to break that addiction. And you recognize, I got to have God's help. I can try all this stuff I want and have play all these mind games, and I can sit here and meditate and get in my yoga stance. I won't do that for you right now. Get in my yoga stance, and I can, you know, just meditate all the addiction away. And I'll get into my happy world, and I'll just da-da-da-da, whatever, and I'll repeat and chant and do all this stuff and, you know, and go through all these steps and do all this stuff. But what it really takes, because understand, there are strongholds. Here's how you define a stronghold. And we all have some kind of stronghold. It may be to a lesser degree. But if it's something that you can't stop, it's a stronghold. If it's something you can't stop. Now, we don't like to hear that. But it's a stronghold. It's something that we can't stop. It's got us. So we need more than just yoga meditation. We need more than just, you know, hurrah-rah speed. You need more than just motivational book reading, which all those things can help. But apart from the power of God, none of it helps. He's the center. It's his power that sets the captive free. It's his anointing, the Bible says, that breaks the yoke. His anointing. Nothing else can break it. But when we allow God to step into our lives. And some of you here would have a testimony. Manna shared a wonderful testimony, you know, several months ago at this church on a Sunday night about where God brought her from. And she was very open and honest with her life and her choices and where she was at. And oh, how God moved and ministered to hearts that night, Manna, because you obeyed. Do you think it's easy to get in front of a group of people? And Chuck's shared a lot of his story. You think it's easy to get in front of people and say, hey, you know, I had an alcohol problem. I was a drug addict. You know, I was this. I was, you know, not that these people did all these things. I was going, but, you know, get up here. I was stealing from people, you know, to get drugs. I was doing this. I was stealing from my own parents. I was hurting my mom and dad. You think it's easy to get up here and say things like that? But see, when we allow God to come into our lives, he truly sets us free. Only he can do that. There's no other power can duplicate the power of God. God can do it. You know, I understand what man says. I really understand where they're coming from on the secular side. But Chuck, the one thing that drives me crazy, I've heard it before, the one thing that drives me crazy, and I understand the man side, but if we could get a different vision inside our heart of what God, how God sees us, is in these meetings they open up and introduce themselves of what they are. Hey, I'm Chuck Waldron, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm 3 months sober. It keeps constantly reminding us, and we're telling ourselves what we are instead of what God says we are. See, what we should be saying is, I am no longer an alcoholic. I have been set free. I am free in Christ. As we begin to speak that and hear that and understand that's how God sees us, see, I know I'm not. I don't go around saying I'm hellbound, because I'm not. I'm not hellbound. I'm kingdom bound. I'm heaven bound. We don't go around saying, yeah, I'm James Lewis and I'm hellbound, but you know what? God still loves me and he saved me. Well, if he saved me, how can I be hellbound? I'm not hellbound no more. I was. All of us were. Until we accepted Jesus. And one thing Joe did yesterday, I've never had this done in a wedding, ever. Joe said a little something at the end of the service before we introduced him as husband and wife again. He said a little something. And he told the people sitting out in the chair, says, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ask him to be your Lord and Savior. How powerful that was. Just that seed being planted. That was so much in your heart, Joe, to say that on your wedding day. If you don't know Jesus,
accept Jesus. Joe knows how important that is. But we all were hellbound, but we are not hellbound now. I'm not a heathen no more. I may act like one sometime, but I'm not a heathen no more. I'm kingdom bound because God saved me, because God can do it, and he can do it in your life. He can save you. He can rescue you. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can let you sleep again. See, some of you can't even sleep at night. God can give you rest again to where you lay down and close your eyes, and guess what? You are in la-la land. I'm talking about non-medicated la-la land. You just lay down and go to sleep and just doze off and go into your dream world and you know, whatever that is. A lot of us don't have lost even sleeping at night. We've lost our peace. We've lost our joy. We've lost our hope. But God can bring all that back. God can give you peace again because he is peace. God can give you hope because he is hope. God can bring you healing because he is the healer. God can bring you deliverance because he is the deliverer. He is the great I am. There's nothing he can't do because he is I am. Whatever you need him to be right now, this morning, on this day, September 7th, he can do it for you. God can do it. Our faith must be in what he can do and who he is, not in what we can do and who we are, but in who God is. All things have to point back to God. Go to Mark 9, baby. And Tom, her, baby. Yeah, I didn't put them in, though. So go to Mark 9 with me, and I got to see which verse here. We're going to start with 16, Mally. Mark 9, verse 16 through 28. Now, this is a story of Jesus healing someone. This is a young man, and from all accounts, he was having seizures, whether it was epilepsy, whether it was demonic control, not sure of, but he was having seizures, had them from a child. He was convulsing, and the act of Jesus calls it an unclean spirit. We're going to start in verse 16 in Mark 9. And he asked the scribe, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto you my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Jesus answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him, this young man, unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I love this statement from the father. We got to ask, don't we? We got to be humble enough to say, "We need help. I need help, God. I need your help in this. I can't fight it. Can you give me what I need?" We have a whole lot of people not willing to ask God for help because of rebellion, is all it is. They're too rebellious to ask for God for help. They think it's weak to submit themselves to God. They think it's weak to ask God for help. They think it's weak to pray to something they can't really see or touch. And to them, it makes no sense. But when we surrender to God and say, "God, I need your help," and we first acknowledge we have a need, that's the first step. That's the first step of salvation. "God, I know I'm lost. I know I don't need you as Savior. I know, God, that if I die today, I'll probably go to hell because I've totally rejected you. I've rebelled against you. I've not acknowledged you at all. And I'm sorry for that." That's the first step to salvation is repentance, acknowledgement. "I need you, God." We don't know we need to be saved until we cry out, "I need to be saved." We don't recognize it. you could be swimming along and it'll be everything be fine, and you're fine. And then once you lose control and you feel yourself slipping away, or you're drowning, or you get a cramp, or you know you're over your head and you can't get out, you start crying out for help. God, I need help. Help me. Somebody save me. Save me. Throwing your arms up. That's what we need for God. God, save me. I don't like living the life I'm living. I'm tired of every day being bound when I know you can set me free. I'm tired of being troubled every day when I know you can set me free. I'm tired of going through every day and I have no joy, no peace, no hope, nothing. I'm going through the motions with no true joy anymore. But God, you can step in and change all that. You can give me and restore again what I need to look at life. You know, one thing I honor, I told Melanie this about Joe, is Joe's not had an easy life. Joe was born and had physical complications from the time he was born. And has fought physical disabilities in his life, his whole life. As Joe's sitting there this morning right now, he's probably in quite a bit of pain. But you never know that. He's been through hardships like we all have with his kids, his grandkids. You know, your kids and grandkids don't always act like you want them to act, do they? Can I get a witness? I mean, you raise them right, you try to teach them, and they don't always do what you want them to do. It'd just be great if you could put that, some kind of chip in them, you know, when they leave the house and, you know, you will do exactly how you were taught. You will walk like how you were raised. You will say exactly what you were saying. But it don't work that way. And Joe's had hardships. Joe's had physical complications. But Joe is a happy man. Now, I know looking at him on Sunday mornings, you may not think that because he has that bulldog look sometimes. But Joe is a happy man. And anytime you talk to him, if you talk to him personally, he will tell you, I've been so blessed in my life. I've been so blessed. He never says anything negative about his life. And the pain that he's in, the pain that he suffers, or Sunday mornings he tells me he can hardly sit there through a service. But he drives from Mooresville twice a week. And you never would know it because he's happy. Why is Joe Brown so happy? Well, he's got Sharon, of course. We understand that. But he's happy because he knows the Lord. See, when you know the Lord, you're happy. As that song Doc sings, are you happy with me, Lord? Because I'm happy with you. Joe's happy with God. He wouldn't want no other way. And all of Joe's happiness has been his faith in God being first. We can be joyful in this turmoil world if we know God. Because we know our future. I mean, think about this. What if you knew? What if mom knew? Today's her birthday. She knew on this day, this year in 2014, she's going to get $1 million delivered UPS to her house. And she knows it. She'd be happy. I could be going through some problems. Mom, I need to talk to you. Not now. So I got to count my money. Nothing else would matter. I'm happy. We can be happy in God because we know our future. We know exactly where we're going if our faith in the Lord. We know exactly what tomorrow brings for us. There's no question about tomorrow. Yes, the earth days, we don't know what's going to happen. But in the real tomorrow, we absolutely know what's going to happen. That we're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. Peace and joy and healing and power. And no more body pain, no more mind pain, no more family pain. It's all going to be washed away. And we're going to walk into a brand new place. We know that because the Word tells us that. So we can be happy on our journey. We know where we're going. Think about the people rejecting God and living their own lives and justifying why they live that way and why they don't need God. Think about where they're going. Think about their end. That as I'm lying in my bed and it's time for me to go home, that I see the hand of God. Whereas someone else that's rejected God their whole life and rebelled sees something totally different. Whether it's darkness or a band of demons instead of a band of angels coming for their soul. We know Jesus. We got something to be happy for. Because there's going to be a day, church, we're going to dance forevermore. We're going to worship forevermore. All the pain and heartache of this age will come to a close. And just like the song Chuck said, I believe we'll know those prophets. I believe we'll meet all those those ones that were martyred for the gospel. We're going to see Moses. We're going to be in one family in the sainthood of God together. Think about how wonderful that's going. I know who Melanie's going to meet, of course, besides Jesus. I know the first Bible characters, if you want to call them that, Melanie will want to meet, will be Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Get it out. It's going to say Reshach. Who's Reshach? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's who Melanie want to see. She want to go to them boys and say, "Wow, man, how did you stand, first of all, against that persecution? And what was it like being thrown in that heap? Was you scared?" I mean, imagine meeting David, seeing David. "Man, David, you were tending sheep. Next thing you know, you got a crown on your head. What? You see that coming?" I mean, one day you're just with a staff. "Come on, Jesse. Come on. Don't you bow at me. You come on." You know, whatever. Leading the sheep. The next day he's standing in front of a 9-foot giant saying, "Watch, you're going down today." We got all of that waiting on us. The fellowship of the saints. And then we get a little more personal, right? The ones that we know that's going on that we love. Spouses, children, siblings, grandparents, the ones that we want to see, the ones we want to be with again. It's awesome. We know what tomorrow brings for us so we can walk this life with joy because God saved us. God did a work that nobody else could do. He did truly come looking for me. We don't seek God until he first seeks us. He first speaks to us. He first gives us that desire. He first begins to talk to us. And then we hear him, and then we say, "God, I hear you, and I'm feeling something. What is that I'm feeling? I don't know what it is. It's me, son. It's me, daughter, drawing you. It's me. Don't you feel that? It's my very presence, my very essence, my very life. It's me. That's my voice you hear. That's my hand you feel. That's my spirit that beats in your heart. That's me calling you, the living God. I'm not dead. I'm not distant. I'm not far away. I'm ever present right now, walking in the earth, walking the land, and I'm calling you out, speaking to you. I want you. I'm much bigger than Uncle Sam. I'm pointing my finger, and I do want you. Will you hear me?" That's what God is saying. He's still in the earth seeking those who are his. He's looking for us. And when that time comes, will we surrender and say, "God, I hear you, and I want what you are offering me, because nothing else has worked. I can't break this. I can't change this. I am lonely. I am grieving. I am empty. I am void. Whatever your life is right now, whatever you're battling, whatever you're needing God to fix, God can do it. He can do it for you. We know he does it. We have so much faith for other people, but sometimes not for our own selves. We'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray for other people. But when it hits home, hits our lives, hits our family's life, it becomes much harder because we're much more involved. But God can do it for you. So we're on verse, 23? Have I read 23 yet? Okay. So Jesus said, let me find out my scripture here, 23, sorry. Jesus said to them, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible. Now, it doesn't mean all things will happen. I understand that. I do believe in the will of God. I believe in that. But all things are possible. And we believe for that. You know, God could have physically healed my grandfather. Could have physically healed Gene. Could have healed those that's going on. Could have. Sure, he could have. All things are possible. But what was the will of God for that person's life? That's the difference. But you know what? When we pray, we believe. God, you can do it. You can do it. And all of a sudden, we put that ball in God's court and let God have it and trust him with that. Trust him with it. Putting the ball in your hands, God. You can do all things. I'm trusting you and believing you that all things are possible. We don't have to carry things one more day, not with the power of God. He can break those chains. He can break them. There are people that are set free all over the world that are set free by the power of God, that see for the first time clearly who they really are. Don't let the devil paint a picture of who you are. Let God paint the picture. We're in the wrong gallery sometimes walking around. And we're over here looking at this artwork, and all we're seeing is what the devil's painted, what we are and who we've been, and all the mistakes and all the failures and all the disappointment, all the letdowns. And then we go over here and we see God paint this beautiful picture. Child of God, my son, my daughter. You know how we're proud to carry our family in our wallet, you know, our wives and kids carry little pictures in wallet, you know. Women probably do that more than men, but, you know, we'll carry a picture or something of our kids or our wife. We're so proud of that, you know. You have a first grandbaby, what do? Every time everybody went in the wallet, hey, see my grandbaby? They really don't care, let y'all know. But see my grandbaby? Oh, yeah, cute, yeah. You know, for some people it's their pets, you know, their dogs or cats. Oh, you see, yeah, that's 32 pictures showing your dog. That's great. He bow wows, wags, you know, eats, sleeps, goes outside, does his business. I understand. Cute dog. Yeah, cute dog. We love going on about those things. That's how God feels about us. Man, see Bruce this morning up there singing? Hey, Peter, Bruce down at Living Word, you see him? Tearing it up. Peter, Bruce, BH was off the hook this morning, Peter. Did you see that? I mean, think about how he just is, you know, sees that. Man, look at Chuck. Hey, Paul, look at Chuck. You remember where Chuck was? Yeah, Jesus, I remember where he was. Look at him now. Yeah, he's done. Man, you're helping him out there, Lord. I am. Wow, proud of him. Yesterday, Joe and Sharon, see God looking down. Wow, here's a couple I brought together 50 years ago. And here they stand today, my children, still holding hands. And Joe even kissed the bride yesterday. Joe knows how to kiss for 50 years. Ain't that great? I mean, wow. He hadn't lost the kissing feature. How proud. Amanda giving her testimony. How proud. Wow, look at my daughter. That's my daughter up there. Man, she's sharing with the people where she was and what I did for her. That's my daughter. That's how God feels about us. We got to see ourselves as God sees us. Forgiven. Sanctified, justified, righteous in his eyes, blood bought and redeemed, a holy nation, a peculiar, special, called out people, a remnant seed of God, the anointed, the called out. We are his, and that's how God sees us. Everywhere we go, I am his child and he is my heavenly father. It doesn't change. He is my father all the time, 24/7. And I'm his beloved child, who he takes great joy in. So understand that God can do anything. If he saved you, he can do anything. And I say this many times as an example. The hardest miracle to believe for me, really, is that God saved me from hell. That because of this blood being spilled, I can go to heaven and live and have eternal life. If I can believe that, surely I can believe he can break some strongholds, break some addictions, restore my marriage, save my child like he'd save me, give me peace again and give me healing in my body, give me a touch where the pain is at. God can just in an instant, a moment, just pass by and all of a sudden you're better. You're just better. But our faith must be in God. I said this last week. If it's offend anybody, it wasn't to offend anybody, but I'll say it again today. So offend you again. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying this. You go to the doctor. The doctor comes out and says, got bad news. You got type 2 diabetes. We believe that without any proof. I mean, we believe that. We, really. What the doctor says, we believe. I ran the labs. Here's your number. Da-da-da. But when it comes to things of God and his word and his miraculous power or his delivering power, we seem so hesitant, don't we? Oh, God can't do that. I don't know if the word can't do that. I read the word, but that's not what it means. We place more faith in man than we do in God. Church, with what's coming on the horizon the next couple of years, we better be placing our faith in God. I can tell you that. We better be placing our faith in the one who keeps his hand up on our families and up on our lives and upon our nation. because it's about to go wild. And if we place our faith in what somebody else is going to do instead of what God's going to do. You know, this little tiny country of Israel has been safe all these years, has not been destroyed. Israel's about the size, Israel's no bigger than some of our, it's smaller than some of our states here in America. It's a whole nation. Here's little Israel nestled in this middle of all this evil. And I'm not scared to call it evil. Sitting in the middle and surrounded with a false doctrine. Surrounded with hate and just evil and prejudice. They've made no bones about it. They want Israel off the map. We want to blow Israel off the map. Why has Israel not been blown? Do you really not think there's not enough manpower around Israel to blow them off the map? I mean, really? You got Iran, Iraq, Syria, Northern Africa. I mean, all these countries could come together at any moment and just blow them off the map if they wanted to. What keeps Israel? God. God says you're not going to mess with Israel. You're not going to touch this nation because my hand's upon them. And he said in the word, those that bless Israel, I bless. Those that curse you, I'll curse. You can't touch them. This little nation, sure, it's had turmoil, and it's had people killed, it's had wars, all that. But it's still a nation, and it's still there, and it's still going forward. And why do so many people hate Israel? Because they hate God. They hate God. They hate the God they stand for. They hate the word they stand for. They hate them. So we have all of this surrounding Israel, but yet they're safe because the hand of God's on them. The hand of God's on us too. And that's why I said last week, do not fear what's coming, but you better have your faith in God. Because man's not going to be able to stop what's on the horizon. Only God's going to be able to step in and stop what's on the horizon for the sake of his seed and the sake of his people. And I don't know what the future holds. I'm not that prophetic. I don't have some kind of visual to tell you this morning. But I know that the next couple of years are going to be a major change in this nation. And we better have our faith in God, not in man. God's the only one that can keep us and protect us. Get the next verse. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Isn't that a great verse? You know what he's saying? Lord, I want to believe, but I'm weak. Help me believe. Nothing wrong with saying that, God. Help me believe. The father was acknowledging he had a weakness. I'm not strong enough to believe this. God, I need you to help me believe. I want to. I know who you are. I've heard what you've done. But help me believe. Help me believe I can sleep tonight in peace and just close my eyes and sleep. Help me believe that I can go through this day with no pain in my body. Help me believe, God, that I can have peace about my family, about my children, about my grandchildren. I can just have peace, God. Help me to really believe that. Ask God for help. He was sincere. Next verse. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. Notice what Jesus calls it here, a foul spirit. Saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Come out and don't go back. See, here's the thing God does. I believe this. When God sets you free, it's a forever deal. It's done. He makes you whole. It don't come back. He makes you whole when he casts something out like that. He says, you're going to be delivered and not go back in him at all. Next verse. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. So this guy, this foul spirit came out. The spirit cried out of him. And he fell down the ground like he was dead. Because it left, the power of that spirit left his body. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. And when he came into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus, you can get the next one. Okay, I'm sorry. It goes on to say, and Jesus said, this kind comes of nothing but prayer and fasting. The point of this scenario of the disciples, to me, I speak, is the disciples were trying to operate in their own authority, in their own power, not God's authority and God's power. And I think that's what we're asked sometimes. We believe in God and we pray, but somehow we think we got the magic. We got the trick. And that's why I said that there are no healers. There's healing. And that's God. There's no deliverer as far as mankind, but there is a deliverer that works through mankind. Our authority is in God, not in man. It's based totally on who God is. The authority is in God, not us. We got to get out of the way and let the authority of God rule and be the one, as you said, that went behind the veil into that room with her. When Bruce stopped, God went. And then it was in his hands. And we prayed and we believed that God, she's in your hands, and you go heal her. You go raise her up. She's not going to die. And I remember that came out of me when I don't know if I was praying with her or by myself for her, but I remember at one point, I remember that came out of me, that you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You know, that's the authority of God, not us. We get in a lot of trouble. We start messing with stuff ourselves. And that's where a lot of the charismatic Pentecostal background have gotten in trouble, because they've got man away instead of letting the Holy Spirit really do the work. The Holy Spirit don't need man. I don't understand this. You could be healed right where you're sitting right now without even being touched. We had a guy who got healed at New Year's Eve service about 3 years ago. He testified about it. We all here at the altar. I didn't lay hands on nobody. I'm just up here and we're just praying. The new year in, praying for God's anointing. He walked in. He couldn't even turn his neck when he walked in service. He testified, said, up here at the altar, something happened. And so he started turning his neck, said, look at that. I couldn't even move when I came in. I know this guy personally. So it wasn't a hoax. It wasn't some kind of staged act. But nobody even touched him. But see, God healed him. The Holy Spirit can heal you right where you're at. Do you understand that? He can pass your way and touch you right where you're at. In your car, in your home, in your living room, he can pass by and give you and deposit into your life exactly what you need. You can be in your kitchen doing work you don't like, doing the dishes, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God come in and you start dancing in the Holy Ghost in your kitchen by yourself, because that's what the Holy Ghost is and that's how he really works. It's not a show or it's not staged. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work and that moves throughout his body. God can do it. Trust him. God can do it. Whatever you need today, God can do. Glory to God. Man, why don't you come up and sing that song? I heard doing a song in closing for our benediction song. And it's called He'll Do It Again. And I just want you to listen to the words of this song, because what God's done before, he can do again. And if you have a need in your life today as you sing this song, just cry out to God and say, God, yes, I need you to do it in my life. And I know that you can. And I'm going to leave here putting this in your hands, knowing I can leave here different than I walked in. That's how it should always be. He'll do it again. Listen to the words of the song.
You may be down and feel like God somehow forgotten, that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. But now it seems there's no way out and you're going under. God's proven time and time again, he'll take care of you.
Yes,
and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. God knows the things you're going through, and he knows how you're hurting. You see, he knows just how your heart has been broken in two. But he's the God of the stars, yes, of the sun and the sea, and he is your father.
Yes, Lord.
He can calm the storm, and he'll find some way to fix this for you, and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it. He will not fail you. Yes, he's still God. And he will not change. Yes, he's still God. And he's fighting for you. Just like Moses, just like Daniel, just like Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he same now as then? You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. You may not know how,
may not know how,
you may not know when,
you may not know when,
you may. But I know,
I know for sure.
Do it,
yes,
again. He'll do it again.
Glory. Amen. Don't that motivate you? He's going to do it again. Don't you give up on God. He got more than one trick in his hat for you. Glory to God. Ushers, come on up. We'll receive our offering. And at this point,